playing, she's playing through the verse of grace greater than our sin. And as we get to that chorus, I'd like you to join me this morning singing grace, grace, God's grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. How many are glad for God's grace this morning? Thank the Lord for it. Well, this morning, you've probably noticed Brother Mark is not here. He's out of town. And so I'll not even remotely pretend to be Brother Mark this morning. We'll let him be who he is, and he does it well. And we appreciate him and what he does every Sunday in our class. But we do want to go over a few additional prayer requests to what's on the list. And then a couple of you have asked for some names to be removed from the list. We'll get right on that. And just to kind of give you an idea of what happens, Mondays is usually when the ladies, Mondays and Tuesdays, are when the ladies will put out the new prayer request list. And then you all will fire back, hey, you can remove this one or remove that one. Well, then usually it doesn't happen until the following week. It's not that we're ignoring you, but it's just a little bit of a delayed response. And I'm sure that those that are being prayed for, we're not going to hurt them by praying for them again, all right? So we'll be fine on that one. But in addition to those that are on the list, let's pray for Angie in the back. Angie, wave your hand. Friday, she has a surgery procedure this Friday. It's on a Good Friday, so that's a good day to have it, I believe. And so she's going to have that procedure, and pray for her. Hattie Winkle is an 18-month-old that has a rare kidney disease. Sandy is asking prayer for her, and pray that the doctor can treat and help this young lady, 18 months old, with a rare kidney disease. Can you imagine starting life out with that? So we need to pray for her, please. I want to welcome Dorothy Hill this morning. Good to see you again. And then Alvin and Samitha are here with us. If you see them, wave at them, shake their hand, let them know that they're welcome. It's so good to have them in our class. And then let me make a real quick announcement. As you know, today is the first of a couple Sundays that we're having our Sunday school campaign. And so it's called The Climb. If you look on the back wall, you'll see the chart. And we're looking at trying to get a little better at our Sunday school attendance. And not that you guys need that, because you're here. Hallelujah. And but there's those that we have that aren't able to be here. They're sick or they're traveling. We have some that all they need is just a little bit of a nudge. You just say, hey, you're missed. We'd love to have you back. If you don't mind, just reach out to them in these next few weeks and tell them that they're missed. We need them. When you study Scripture and you find out the purpose that each member has in the body of Christ, you'll find that I need you and you need me. Now, that's a crazy thought, I know, but because of how the body of Christ works and the gifts that each individual receives when they ask Christ to come into their heart, there's at least one spiritual gift that you're given at the moment of salvation. Most of us, it's more than that. I need your spiritual gift. This body of believers needs your spiritual gift. And we're not able to benefit from that spiritual gift if you're not here amongst us. We were created as relational beings. That's why COVID did such a number on mankind. And it was the one thing that they used to shut it down. And Satan was just as happy as he could be because people were not at that point, they weren't being relational. They weren't communicating as well. You say, oh, well, we communicated online. It's not the same. It's amazing. Listen, and I know I'm off on a tangent. Maybe we'll just chalk this up to a nugget, all right? But my sister adopted two young babies, two baby boys from Romania. There was a long process. When they went out there to Romania, and for those of you that know the history, Romania has a really tough history when you study everything that they've gone through. But they ended up with thousands of children because a bunch of parents were annihilated. They ended up with thousands of children in these homes. There were so many children that there was not enough help for them to take care of these children. And so these kids were just in these cribs, and they didn't have time to hold them. They didn't have time to feed them their bottles and rock them to sleep. It was so sad. Listen, I saw when my sister brought these two young baby boys to the house to visit, and it just tore me up. They would rock themselves to sleep. They would hold each other, these two twins, and they would rock themselves to sleep. They had been doing that already since they were infants. And they still did that as they grew older when it was time to take their nap. They would sit there and they would rock themselves to sleep. That should not ought to be. Satan wants that. He doesn't want us to be around each other. So it's deeper than just, oh, we want to have more in Sunday school. No, we need each other. We need you. We need that handshake. We need that tap on the shoulder. Those of you that are huggers, you need to hug somebody. It's okay. It's what you need. We need that touch. It's very important. Very important. We're very relational. So let's pray for that as we go into it. I'm excited. Boy, how many love this weather? Isn't this weather amazing? Yes, sir. Pull this blind down. Well, who? Oh, goodness gracious. You know what they were thinking online? They thought it was just an aura that was coming over me. Either that or my bald head was shining too bright. Yes, sir. Okay.
You know, I know that things happen for a reason, but my spirit is really upset and grieving because of what happened in Nashville.
Yes.
Things like this don't need to happen, and this whole week, I've felt my spirit being tugged in so many directions.
Yes.
And I'm upset. I'm mad. You know, and I can't imagine what the families at a Christian church or a Christian academy are going through. You know, I just want to see stuff happening where it all just stops. You know? So
we do. And thank you for mentioning that, Brian. We do need to pray for those families. In addition to that, let me say this. Anything that we could do politically or locally is not going to solve the problem. These people that are doing these atrocious things, they need Christ. They need Christ. That's what they need. That is the only solution. So, what does that do? We're in here this morning, and we're here to study God's Word and we're on a course to grow in Christ. Why do we do that? We do that so that we can reach others. I've been bothered here in the last week. I've been thinking about something that I'm going to share with you in the next week or so. Maybe not next week, but the following. I'm going to share with you a chart, and it's going to show you the reality of what could happen if each one of us reached out and we led somebody to Christ and then discipled that person to reach another person for Christ. and disciple that person. Literally, that is the way it's going to get done. You and I are sitting here today and we know Christ is our personal Savior, because 12 guys were given a mandate by the Lord and Savior when He was on this earth. And He told them to get after it. And they did. And we're saved today because of that. How did that happen? How did 12 people turn the world upside down with the gospel of Christ? I'm going to show that to us and show that how it could be done. Literally, as a world, we have no reason why the entire world could not know the gospel. You say, Brother Dan, that's a bold statement. I'm going to prove it to you numerically that in a matter of 12 years, the entire globe could know the gospel. And I'm going to prove it to you. If we were to do what Christ did. So that becomes our priority number one. I love what we do here. I love what we do in the auditorium when we gather together and we sing. But did you know that is not the end all? That encourages the saints, and it may cause some folks to think about Christ. It sets the stage. And everything that we do musically, everything we do in a service, it has a purpose, and that is to bring us down to the moment where the gospel is being preached, where the Word of God is being preached. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is our ultimate goal, that people get saved. And that has got to be priority number one. Priority number one. Thank you for bringing that up, Brian, but we've got to do that. So let's pray. Father, I pray for those that we've mentioned here on this list, those that are on our existing list. And in addition to that, we want to pray for Angie this coming Friday as she goes into surgery. Heavenly Father, I pray that you touch the surgeons, anybody that has anything to do with that surgery. Lord, I pray that you would guide them, that you would direct them, and that you would be with her and help her to come through this surgery okay. We pray for this Hattie, 18-month-old, that has this rare kidney disease. Lord, I pray that you would help the doctors, that give them wisdom and show them what they need to know in order to be able to take care of this young lady. Lord, I just pray that you would touch her body. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Larry, I'm going to let you pray to dismiss. I gave you a mic and was told you were going to pray, and I just blew right past that. That's what happened for me getting distracted. All right, at this time, also, Brother, where did he go? There he is, Brother Buddy. Could you stand up real quick and share with us what God did for you? And yeah. Yes, sir. It's on. Yes, sir.
Actually, I watched the service when Brother Dan put it on the screen. Of course, I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was 2 o'clock Monday morning when I watched the service here Sunday morning. So,
wow, that's a rough schedule, isn't it?
I did stay up and watch, but yeah, we got accomplished what we were looking to get accomplished while I was over there. Actually, I guess you remember seeing the pictures, it's a two-story school. It's a big school, but it's there was a stairwell that went to the top of the roof that was open. So we put a room on top. It's 25 feet by 35 feet on top where the stairwell came out. And that's going to be the electrical room for the solar power. So they're going to try to completely do solar power for the school. But we did, the guys, when I got there, the guys had the blocks laid on the top of the roof. But as you saw with the backhoe, with the picture, when I got there, those guys had all the materials that they'd got up the blocks, and they'd been pouring some of the columns with the cement. Of course, they hadn't mixed by hand, but they'd been pulling all that cement up with buckets, with a rope from the corner of the school on the far end. They'd been pulling it up with ropes, putting it in a wheelbar, rolling it over, and then bucketing it up, putting it in buckets again, and then putting it in the forms. But so first thing I did when I got there with the backhoe, of course, these guys, none of them runs backhoes. So first thing I did was where it's dug out around the school, the backhoe wouldn't reach. It wouldn't reach the edge of the school, so I come up with a jib boom to put on the end of the backhoe to pick the wheelbar up and set it on top, so that cut out a lot of labor getting the materials even up on the roof. But that helped the guys. That encouraged them, you know, that cut out that much of the work, you know. But we got all the beams poured, formed, and poured. And then we, if you go on that on the Facebook site, it's Faith Christian Academy. Yap. You have to put Yap on the end, and they've got that Facebook page. You can see all the updates about the what we did, and you know, the construction and the school. Okay. You know, but they you can look on that if you look on Facebook. But we did get the roof poured. It's like I say, it's 25 feet by 35 feet, and it took 14 yards of concrete.
Wow.
To pour that slab on top.
And all that's handmade, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's hand
mixers. Yeah, mixed it in mixers. Yeah.
Okay.
But he, when he started the project in 17, he did buy a concrete pump. It's a big reed concrete pump with a 4-inch hose.
Yeah.
But the small pours is not worth fooling with the pump.
Correct.
I mean, you know, but that's why they were doing it in buckets. Plus, somebody has to be there that's knowledgeable about running the pump.
Yes, sir.
You know, but so I met Paul. Y'all met Paul. He was gone. I was over with the guys, and then he came back, and I got everything set up with the pump and all the hoses and all. Then when he got back, we pumped the roof. We did pump the concrete up on top, the 14 yards.
Yeah.
We did pump it up on top. But if you go on that Facebook page, you can see the last pour. But that's the day I got sick. The last, when we poured that day, that was the day that I did get that fever, and so we got it poured, but the next 2 days I couldn't even leave the house. I had the fever and got the chills. But I did do the local women made me local medicine. The boil, it's tea they made out of papaya leaves. They boiled papaya leaves.
Yes, sir.
And that's the local medicine for that dengue.
Yeah.
So I drank that and I got better. So I guess it works. You know,
it worked, and you're still alive.
I'm here, yeah. So,
well, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
If anybody's ever had dengue fever, what it feels like somebody took a 2x and just wore you out like a piñata, and that's how it feels while you're going through it. But I'm glad he's alive and well on planet Earth, and he's back with us. Thank you, Brother Buddy. I appreciate that. Take your Bibles, if you would. Let's get into it real quick. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Last week we got caught back up. Find out where we were. If you need a sheet that has a little guide that you can write along with, just raise your hand. Somebody will bring one to you. If you need a sheet to write on, thank you, Brian, for doing that. Romans chapter 5. In our study, we're looking in Romans chapter 5, the blessings of justification by faith. We're going to look at the blessings of justification by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We have been given a new pronouncement of righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. We've spent some time talking about it. It's not our righteousness. We know that there's no way, and we're not talking about necessarily about salvation, although there's no way in the world that in our own strength, through what we might do that's good or what we would call good, there's nothing that we could do to be saved. We know that. But then in addition to that, after you're saved, there is still nothing that you can do to obtain righteousness. I think a lot of times we get caught up in that, okay, now that we're saved, now that we have the righteousness of God, well, now we can do good things. No, your human state says otherwise. The only way anything good is done through us is because of the righteousness of God, period. That's it. The righteousness of God. That righteousness that we receive at the moment of salvation is not yours. It is God's. We've been given that new pronouncement of righteousness. Now, to be justified means to be declared just or righteous. Now, this includes the legal removal of negative guilt and the positive bestowal of righteousness. I'm going to repeat that because we're going to come back and we're just going to take a few seconds to unpack that. This includes the legal removal of negative guilt. How many would say with me, just be honest with yourself, after salvation, there have been moments in your life when you have felt guilty because of something you did that you knew you were not supposed to have done, but you did it anyway. Would you raise your hand with me? That guilt Satan will use to disable you so that you are not effective for Christ. And he's done a number on many of us at some time or another in our life, because after salvation, we tripped up. We did something that we knew was in our flesh. We did it, and now we feel guilty. And because we feel guilty, we don't want to get... A lot of times it drives folks away from the Lord because they feel so guilty. Literally, innocently, they feel guilty. And they're like, man, there's no way God would want me now. There's no way that He could bless me now, or there's no way that He could use me now. This is a very serious problem within the believer's life. So he legally removes that negative guilt, and there's a positive bestowal of righteousness. We are both declared, and I said both, we are both declared to be just if I'd never sinned, and here goes a statement that's going to hair-lip a few, all right? And that is this: just as if I had been as righteous as Jesus Christ. Now, whose righteousness is bestowed on us at the moment of salvation? Why would it surprise us that if we would have been declared just as righteous as the Lord if we're given His righteousness? Does that make sense? Okay, so don't think I'm trying to lay out some heresy or anything like that. This is Bible. This is Bible. So we're both declared to be just if I'd never sinned, and just as if I'd been as righteous as Christ. The Greek tense used here indicates that this was an act that occurred at a moment in time in the past with permanent, ongoing results. That's the tense in the original Greek that it was written in. So it's something that occurred in the past. We were saved. Many of us know the moment that we got saved. Some of us may not remember the exact date or second or whatever, but we know that there was a time that you asked Christ to come in your heart. So there's a moment that occurred in the past, but it has permanent, ongoing results. Permanent, ongoing results. So having been justified or declared legally righteous before God at the moment of faith, we presently and permanently stand in a position of being just before God. Amen. I appreciate that. So now, when that gets a hold of you, that changes the dynamic of Christian living. When that gets you and slaps you around real good, that changes. So having been justified, we've been declared legally righteous before God at the moment of faith in Christ, we presently and permanently stand in a position. Now we're talking about positionally, we're just before Almighty God. Just before. Why? It's not your righteousness. You got to keep reminding yourself of that. It's not your righteousness. It's His righteousness. That's why standing, the stand that you have before God is perfect. Is perfect. That's how you stand before God. Now, let's read that second part of the verse. First part says, therefore being, so you see that being, so it's ongoing, it's permanent, it's ongoing, justified by faith. That takes care of, oh, I got to maintain this. No, you don't, because you're being justified. Isn't that sweet? It's ongoing. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. So we've been given a new peace with God through our Lord Christ, or Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God. Look verse 2. By whom? So you have the semicolon at the end of 1. That means the thought continues. Verse 2. By whom also? Who's that through? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we what? We stand. That's our position. We stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we've been given a new position in Christ. Because we are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, man, it's speaking about mankind, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things pass away. From now on, behold, everything has become new. You're a new creation in Christ at the moment of salvation. You've been given a new position. Because we are in Christ, we now have a new access to God. A new access to God. Where at the moment of the sin in the Garden of Eden, there was a separation. There was a that was the saddest part of the whole thing. Man and God were separated in the Garden of Eden. Where God used to come down in the cool of the day, every day, to speak with mankind, to have fellowship with mankind. Every day, He would come and He'd talk. When at the moment that they disobeyed, at the moment they sinned, God no longer did that. They were separated from God. The entire reason God created man was to have fellowship and communion with Him. And that got broke at that moment, which is why it's so vital and important that we make it priority number one to lead others to restore that relationship that was the original plan of God in the Garden of Eden. People need to be restored to that relationship. Until they do, there's a void in their life. They don't know how to explain it. And because of that void, they search here, they search there, they try this, they try that. There's all kinds of things that they try and they go after and they pursue to try to fill that void. But nothing will fill the void except a relationship with their Creator. And that takes care of everything else. That takes care of everything else. So we've been given a new position. Because we're in Christ, we have access to God. We have direct access to the throne room of God. How? In prayer through Christ. Remember, at the moment of crucifixion, when He said, "It is finished," the veil that has been removed. Was it you that mentioned about that veil, or somebody mentioned to me about the veil, how that it was 4 inches thick and it was rent from top to bottom. From that moment on, nobody had to depend on somebody else to go to bat for them in order to take care of their sin. From that moment on, you and I were given direct access to the throne because of our position in Christ. Amen. The veil has been removed, which once blocked access to the presence of God in the heavenly holy of holies. Yes, sir.
Because of this, we can have that sweet communion with God every day.
Yes, we can. Hallelujah. Thank you. And because of that, we have that communion with God. We have that walk with God. So, we therefore have no need for any other mediator. Nobody has to mediate for us. We do not have to go through, I'm going to say it. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but we don't have to go through Mary. She doesn't go and calm him down for us because he's so mad because of our sins. I was baptized in one of those churches when I was a baby. My mom and dad were in that when I grew up. We don't need that anymore. We don't need a priest. We don't need a pastor. I am one of those. We don't need a pastor or a faith healer or any other kind of a mediator to receive our requests from God. My kids would say that they need Grandma Rogers to pray because when she prays, she gets it done. They say she and God are like this. They're tight. We don't need any other mediator. If you have Christ in your heart, you stand positionally with direct access to God through prayer. You say, "Well, Brother Dan, there are some things that will hinder that." Yes, and that's for another moment. We can talk about that. There are some things that will affect your relationship with God. But positionally, there is nothing that will affect your position or your stand in Christ. It is permanently sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, because we are in Christ, we have that new standing. Look at what verse 2 says. By whom also we have access by faith into what? This grace wherein we stand. So we stand within the grace of God. Mercy and grace, they're close, but they're different. Mercy is when God says, "I'm not going to give him what he deserves. He's not going to get it. I'm going to show mercy on him or her." Grace is when, after having shown mercy, he says, "I'm going to give them what they don't deserve." And then he pours it on. We stand positionally within God's grace. And it's no wonder that 2 Peter says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Why do we have to grow in grace? Because from very little we've been taught you have to earn everything that you get. I'll give you a cookie if you do this. We do it. You get a raise at work if you do what? If you excel at what you're doing. Everything is rewards based. With God, it is not. So when we get saved, we have to learn how to grow in receiving. We think there's something we've got to do. Well, I've got to, you know, and God says, "What are you doing? Well, I've got to, you know, I've got to do better at this. Seriously? God says, I already took care of that. Yeah, but we don't say this, but you need my help. God must think we're really weird. He must just sit there and go, seriously? I need you to do this because I can't? Now, I'm being sarcastic here on purpose. But without saying it out loud, we live our life as if God can't take care of certain things. You say, well, Brother Dan, we're supposed to do certain things. Oh, yeah, that's fine. But we walk in the grace that we stand in. We're right in the middle of it. We're up to our neck in grace. But so many times, we don't realize it and we don't live like it because we have to work it up. We have to muster it up. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. No, we're there positionally. Because we're in Christ, we have that new standing in grace. Our standing, now this will help clear up something. Our standing refers to our position in Christ in heaven. Let's go to Ephesians real quick. I want to make sure that we clear this up before we finish this morning. But in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says this. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, comma, by grace ye are saved. And then it says in 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know that you're already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? You're there. You're there. Positionally, you're there. It's guaranteed. You've got the seat. You've already got your seat. You're there positionally. Why? Because you're in Christ. Where is Christ? He's in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Is he not? Would you agree with me? So positionally, we're there because we are in Christ. We're in that grace. So our standing refers to our position in Christ in heaven, which is different from our state. And I'm not talking about Tennessee. I'm talking about our state of being, which is our condition on earth. Okay? So let's go back to Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Okay? That's what that's referring to again. So our standing is our position in Christ in heaven, and our state of being is our condition on earth. But we have permanent standing in Christ. Wow. This is amazing stuff. This is great. Why didn't somebody tell me this before? I often think that. We have been given also Romans 5, back to our scripture, verse 2. We have been given a new persevering hope of glory. We can now rejoice, it says, in the hope of the glory of God. That's why, Brian, that's why when we see these things that are happening, we're thinking, goodness gracious, how can people get to this level? And you and I say, oh, thank God for that hope that we have in glory. Because I'm already sitting with Christ in heavenly places. And what does that do? That doesn't remove me or isolate me or separate me from where I'm living. What that does is it causes me to be motivated to say, whoa, man, I've got to tell these folks, they need to know about this hope that they can have. They need to know about where they can stand. They need to know about that void being filled. That's what drives us. when we realize our true position in Christ, now we stand in grace, and therefore we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God, that phrase refers to our future glorification. So we have justification at the moment of salvation. We talked about justified, being just as if we'd never sinned, but also just as if we were as perfect as Christ. Ooh, there's that statement again. It makes me nervous to say it, and it should, out of reverence, it should, but that's where we stand positionally. You got justification, you've got sanctification. That's what takes place in the believer's heart and life as we're growing in grace and as we're reading Scripture and as we're learning about where we stand in Christ. There's a sanctification process that takes place that does not end until we get to heaven. And then when we get to heaven, we experience something the Bible refers to as the glorification. That is the moment when we... That's the hope of the glory of God. That is our future glorification in Christ. The fact that we are in Christ guarantees our future glorification and therefore our eternal security. So we now have assurance from God, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So we now have assurance from God that even our troubles work together for our good, Romans 8, for our good. Our trials bring endurance, they bring experience, they bring hope. They bring hope. That's what our trials remind. Our trials remind us of the fact that this is not the end all. This is not it. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you look around and this is all you have, this is it, it'll make you want to go do some really weird stuff. And it's not good. If this is all you have, but hey, thank God that we have that hope. Thank God we have standing as justified in Christ. We stand in the grace, it says in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You want to talk about grace, the grace of God? That's where it's at. And thank God that Paul was able to share this with us. Man, we only touched on a couple verses this morning. I can't wait to finish the rest of it. And here I thought I was going to get through the entire chapter of chapter 5. Wishful thinking. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have your righteousness. Lord, thank you that it's not mine. Thank you for the standing. You have provided all this that we've talked about this morning and that we enjoy. We love you. Thank you so much for this time that we remember the week before resurrection, all the awful things that you had to go through so that we could experience. Help us to not make light of everything that you went through, all the suffering that you did, so that we could experience this. Help us to remember it, yes, but help us to also live in this grace that you've provided for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. We'll see you in a little.